The op-ed page of today's New York Times features a stinging indictment of opinion polls in New Hampshire, all of which had Senator Barack Obama comfortably ahead of Senator Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary. The indictment is particularly strong given that it comes from Andy Cohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, one of the pollsters who got it wrong. He joins us here in Studio 3A to answer your questions about what went wrong and why. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also weigh in on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Andy Cohut's op-ed is called Getting It Wrong, and thanks very much for coming in on what can't be your happiest day as a professional
player. Well, as it turns out, Neil, I didn't get it wrong because I didn't play, but I might well have gotten it wrong if I had played, because one of the things that struck me was that all the polls got it wrong, from the more sophisticated ones like Gallup and CBS to the less rigorous ones, the computerized polls. They all seem to be suffering the same problem in the Barack Obama-Hillary Clinton race, an overstatement of Obama. Now, it's not a general breakdown of methodology, because these same polls did a wonderful job in the Republican race of getting McCain's margin just about right.
So what happened on the Democratic side?
Well, you know, I don't know, but there are a couple of what you have to do is think about what didn't happen before you can consider what happened. And there's some other things that didn't happen. There really wasn't that large a last minute trend. 17% of the voters said that they decided that day, and there was a 3-point margin for Hillary Clinton over Barack Obama, not enough to account for the difference. The turnout levels were high, but the profile of the electorate was pretty much what it was expected. So it wasn't the conventional things that you would point to and say, oh, there's a survey method thing going on here. Now, detailed, rigorous analysis may provide something, but there's nothing really obvious. I think one of the things that got me thinking was the nature of Hillary Clinton's constituency. Mostly poorer voters, mostly less well-educated voters. And that in combination with what I know about survey sampling, and that says these are the people we undersample, and the history of polls overstating support for black candidates, suggested to me that we should really consider whether race was an issue, or reluctance of some voters to support white voters to support Barack Obama. May not be definitely the case, but given the profile of her support, the history of these things, and the fact that polls don't get enough of these poorer people, less well-educated people. We weight them up, but the people we don't get are probably not like the people we do get in some respects, and opinions about race might be one.
Well, let's pick that apart. Why is it that, to begin with, that poorer, less well-educated people are under-surveyed?
I think because they're suspicious of pollsters. They don't want to participate. They're not as interested in politics. It's a historical trend. It was the case back 15 years ago when I did get a biracial election wrong, David Dinkins, Rudy Giuliani race in 1989.
For mayor of New York.
Mayor of New York. And you know, this is a standard fact in surveys. You get fewer poorly educated people, fewer less affluent people.
Some have pointed out that David Dinkins there was a corruption charge that came out the day before the election. That might have had some.
That might have had something to do with it. But the margin of error for me was 16 points. 16 points. Most elections I do pretty well in. And, you know, I wasn't alone. And, you know, biracial elections in the past have had this history. Now, recently, the polls have done a better job, which in measuring support for black candidates in black-white races, but, and it might not be the issue here, but we really have to give it some consideration given the nature of Hillary Clinton's constituency and the fact that the affluent, well-educated people are the Barack Obama supporters and the poorer people support Hillary Clinton.
In Iowa, there are poor people and less well-educated people, and the surveys, the opinion surveys in Iowa were more or less right.
They certainly were, but you know, Iowa is a caucus and not an election, and you're drilling down to a much smaller group of people. You also have a process by which people come and state their things. They're not just voting. The other thing is that Barack Obama was not the clear front runner in Iowa that he was going into the New Hampshire primary, where all the news was about how Hillary Clinton was going to lose and he was going to win. And that might have been a motivating factor for some white voters who were reluctant to see a black candidate. I want to emphasize, I mean, might, Neil, but what concerns me is that pollsters are unwilling to consider, some pollsters are at least, unwilling to consider the fact that half of the people we try to get, we don't get. And because they're generally not different from the people we do get, we do fine. But that's not always going to be the case. And it could be what was happening here, and it could be what happens in other cases where polls don't do so well.
We're talking with Andy Kohut. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's start with Helen. Helen calling us from Portland, Oregon. Helen, are you there?
Yes, speaking.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, great. Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. It's funny. I'm listening to the radio. It sounds different.
Because it's a little later. Just listen to me and not to the radio.
I see. Okay. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon, and my comment is that even though Dennis Kucinich is my candidate of choice, I think he'd make the best president, but I think the polls got it wrong because a lot of people, women, I think, were keeping it secret, maybe from their husbands and even a poll, that they just want to see a woman win. They just want to see feminism maybe take a step forward instead of the giant leap backward that it's been taking in what I consider to be Bush's America right now.
Could that have been a factor, Andy Cohen?
It could have been a factor in the small rally to Hillary Clinton. There was some issue among the voters who decided at the last minute. There was some issue about the ways in which Barack Obama had addressed Hillary Clinton. Yes, certainly she had stronger support from women in New Hampshire than she did in Iowa, much stronger support. But Barack Obama continued to have the big margin among men. So that may be part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not denying that. But my concern is, why were these polls so far off the margin? And I don't think that's part of it, to be honest with you.
Hmm.
All right. Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to this is Peter. Peter with us in Berkeley, California.
Hi. My comment is this, that whatever the technical reason, I found this refreshing. I found it a reminder that it's kind of a non-determinate universe, at least in this case, and exciting. It's more fun to think that the election can turn out a little bit different from what everybody is so-called scientifically predicting. And in a way, it goes along with quantum physics, doesn't it, where, there's a certain level of uncertainty that's just always there. And I find that fun.
So is there a Heisenberg principle here, operating here?
Well, I don't know if there's a Heisenberg principle operating, but the caller is right on. I mean, there is always a level of uncertainty in these things, and they're talked about with gospel, in part because the polls have been so good. I mean, we've come off of 2000, we come off of 2004, two of the closest elections. The pre-election polls were better than the exit polls, and in 2000, they accurately mirrored one of the closest elections in modern history. That isn't to say that in all cases this methodology is going to work, and that we shouldn't have a little pause and let the reality speak for itself, and not only the strong assumption that something's going to happen, particularly when we're dealing with two unknown phenomena. We've never had a woman running for president as a front runner. We've never had an African American running at this level of standing in the polls. And look, this is hindsight. I wasn't up there screaming and saying, well, these polls are probably going to be wrong. But this experience, as the caller suggests, has taught us a lesson. It's not refreshing for the polling community. I enjoy it, please, but we're not enjoying it. But hopefully we're going to learn from it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And stay tuned for more excitement, maybe. I wanted to ask you a sort of technical question. We are talking about opinion surveys that were conducted, I think, up until Monday, at least in part.
Right.
There are also then exit polls, which is a different method entirely. You're talking to people coming out of the voting booth. Did they make the same kind of mistake?
No, they seemed to do pretty well. There may have been a little bit of a bias there, but it was pretty good. And they had the election results to weight them to. pretty soon. And so they, you know, we didn't have that. We haven't had the miscues on these exit polls that we saw in 2004. And 2006 was pretty good. The folks who are running them now, Joe Lenski and Edison Market Research, they're really doing quite a good job.
All right, let's get Lee on the line. Lee with us from Silver Springs in Nevada.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a question, which is I'm wondering if the polls are media-driven or if the media is poll-driven. And the reason I'm saying this is because as a Democrat in Nevada, which is, you know, puts me in a minority, I've been following this race and wondering why Bill Richardson, who's the guy I like, hasn't been getting any media attention. I mean, I listened to NPR on the night of both the Iowa caucus and after New Hampshire, listening for how he did. Nobody even mentioned him. You know, it's like here we have this man who's spectacularly qualified to be president, probably the most qualified person in both camps. And he, you know, the first attention the guy's getting is when he's talking about dropping out of the race.
Which he's supposed to do about 10 minutes from now, at least reportedly.
And we have this sort of rock star mentality going on. It's like the press are like groupies following the woman and the black man. And, you know, I mean, I tell you, I'm a woman. I'm all for minority. I think, you know, white men out of office, I'm all for it at this point. But I'm wondering why, you know, why the other candidates aren't getting the attention from the media, and if the polls aren't skewed by what the media is doing, or vice versa.
Andy?
Well,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks for the call, Lee.
Certainly the media does follow the polls. The media often sponsors these polls, pays for them, and they recognize that polls have a pretty good record, so they're going to pay attention to them. Now, to what extent do people who are not doing well in the polls never make it? Many of them don't, but you have a candidate like Mike Huckabee, who was at about 3% in the polls in August or September, gradually come up in the polls, come into Iowa and do very, very well. And the polls saw that. And the polls really do give voice to what's going on in terms of American public opinion that the media often doesn't recognize till they see it manifest itself in the polls. I mean, the polls are sort of in many respects, a truth squad for the media, because the media is sometimes surprised. The biggest surprise, for example, years ago was the extent to which the public actually became more approving of Bill Clinton after the Lewinsky scandal broke, not less approving. The media was ready to have him resign by the third week in January. And there are many other examples of how what the polls tell the people challenges the media's assessment and the conventional wisdom. Now, which isn't to say that, you know, the notion that the media can get poll-driven isn't also a problem, but they're both problems.
And the media also looks at fundraising capabilities, which before people vote is taken as a measure of their organizational strength and their likelihood to be able to compete in the future. In any case, we're talking about opinion polls right now in New Hampshire and why the pollsters got it wrong with Andy Kohut. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Clint on the line. Clint calling from Kansas City.
Yes. You guys kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I kind of see polls as the moment you start studying a poll, the moment things start changing. I think polls tend to change people's minds.
Oh, back to the Heisenberg principle.
How people were going to vote for Obama, but he had such a high chance of winning, they voted for McCain.
Yeah. Let me ask about that. Clint, we're going to have to let you go because your line is so poor. But thanks very much for the call.
I don't think so. There's no real evidence of a bandwagon effect. In fact, we would never have candidates who come out of nowhere and either burst onto the scene and then get picked up by the polls and the polls show growing support for the constituency, or candidates who are way behind and all of a sudden the polls begin to show that they're gaining ground even at a time when they're being dismissed by political observers.
All right, let's get Tim on the line. Tim with us from Roseville in California.
Hello. Hi. I wanted to say I listened to Mr. Kohut yesterday morning on Morning Edition. I read his editorial today in New York Times, which parallels a lot of what he's said so far in your show. And my feeling is I don't understand why you, Mr. Kohut, are apologizing to us for these mistakes in an explanatory way. because we're not we're consumers, but we're not the one who's paid you to do the poll. We end up with the poll, and sometimes our votes are based on the poll, whether people go out and vote or not in primaries because of a poll, or whether they go in the general election because of a poll. I think disrupts the whole effect of our voting. People should just go out and vote, not because they know where someone's supposed to be. I understand the campaign wants to know where their candidate is, but the voter, you know, shouldn't be affected by that. And in my opinion,
are you saying we shouldn't have opinion polls?
Well, no, we're going to have opinion polls because as a marketer or a campaign leader, you want to know where your horse, so to speak, is in the race. So I understand that, but as a voter, you should just be going to vote. People will vote based on, well, that person's doing well, so I'll go vote for them. That should not be a reason for people to vote for any candidate.
So I
just feel that these...
Let Andy respond,
sure.
Okay?
I'm not indicting the polls. I'm not apologizing for the polls. I'm a pollster, and I have great empathy with what happened yesterday. But what we do, our job, the public pollsters, is to try to tell the story of public opinion. Voting is the voting decision is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. People just don't go into the polls and pull the lever. Opinions about candidates and issues develop over time, and if polls are well done, they chart the process and tell the story of the way campaigns are won or lost, and it's a form of journalism. And I think it's perfectly legitimate. Now, and important to make that case with data rather than to have the talking heads and the so-called experts who are basically expressing their opinions. Now, as to citizens, the most important thing for citizens to do is to think about the issues, think about the candidates, and, you know, look at the polls as news and the environment. But this is a personal decision, not a collective decision.
Tim, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And Andy Kohut, again, I know you've been working really hard. We thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Andy Kohut joined us in Studio 3A. He's director of the Pew Research Center for People and the Press. You can find a link to his op-ed on our blog at npr.org/talkofthenation. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.